chapter 5, verses 6, 7, and 8. We'll read through these verses, then we'll pray and get started. For while we were still helpless, at the appointed moment, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God proves His own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's pray. God, we thank You for the beautiful truth of this word, God. We thank You for loving us even though we are pretty rotten, dear Lord. We thank You for just the freedom and the ability to come here today and to look at Your words, to hear Your words. And I pray, God, that Your Holy Spirit would just be among us this morning. I pray that You would give me the words to say, dear Lord, that You would help us to hear what You want us to say, dear Lord. There are no good words, God, that come from me. If there's any good that comes today, God, it has to come from You. So I pray that You would be with us. God, You know where we are in life. You know our struggles. You know our worries. You know our fears, dear Lord. You know where we are, and we need You today. And so we come and we pray that Your word would just help us to grow in You today, that we would find encouragement and joy and peace and hope, dear Lord, in You this morning. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In the chapter before this, and you can go back and read it this week if you get a chance, it's a really great chapter where Paul is talking about Abraham, and more specifically talking about Abraham's faith. And he's talking about faith in the previous chapter, and he's saying that we need to be one who has a faith like Abraham. That is how we are made righteous. It's not through any outward acts. It's not through anything that we can do. It's not because we are good enough, but it's because we have faith in Jesus Christ. And Abraham, even though he had not seen Jesus Christ, he had faith in God. And whatever it was that God told him, he had faith in God. He had faith in God when God said He was going to give him a child, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he makes a beautiful showing of that idea in the previous chapter. And then we flip to Romans chapter 5. And in Romans chapter 5, it starts with beautiful language of those who have faith in Jesus Christ. It talks that they are those who have peace, and those who have grace, and those who have hope. Now, I don't know about you guys, but those three words are things that we should long for, that we desire. I would imagine that everyone in here today desires peace. We don't like when there's chaos. Maybe there are some people that do. I hope that's not any of us. But some people, maybe they feed on chaos. But that's not a good place to be. It's not good when your family life is chaotic. It's not good when your relationships are chaotic. It's not good when your work life is chaotic. Chaos is not good. Chaos is of the devil. Chaos brings us down, and it drains us, and it worries us. But peace comes from the Lord. And that is the only source of peace. There is no peace in anyone else or anything else in this life. And so in the middle of our lives that are filled with chaos, we need the peace of God, because the chaoticness of life can just bring us down. And that's why it's a wonderful thing that God gives us His Word. That's why it's a wonderful thing that we can come here in this building on Sundays and on Wednesdays and just kind of take a minute to praise God, to take a minute to look at His Word, to let it speak to us. And sometimes it speaks to us in a way that's hard, and sometimes it speaks to us and it convicts us, and sometimes it speaks to us and it gives us peace, and it gives us that hope. And even in the corrections and even in the convictions, there's still some peace in that when we listen to the Word of God and submit to the Word of God and humble ourselves before God and repent of our sins. There's just peace all over everything that God does if we would just seek Him. And so Paul begins to talk about those who have faith in Christ, that they are at peace with God and that they have experienced grace. Isn't that something else that we all need? that we need the grace of God, that we mess up so often, that we sin, that we do things that we are so ashamed of, that we wish we would not have done, that thing that we wish we would have just kept our mouth shut and we wouldn't have done this, or we wouldn't have gone there, or we wouldn't have been involved in that thing. And we do these things and we just feel the weight of them, and they just press down on us like an elephant sitting on our chest. It's just a burden, and it just weighs us down. But what a beautiful thing the grace of God is, to know that God will forgive us of our sins. And maybe we need to be reminded of that today. Maybe we've read God's Word a million times and you've seen that God is gracious, but we need to be reminded as humans, because every week it's a struggle. From last Sunday to this Sunday, I suspect we've all done some things that we just wish we hadn't have done, and we feel the weight of our sin, but the greatest thing that there has ever been for us is Jesus Christ and the grace that comes through Jesus Christ, that those sins that we have committed can be forgiven. And so there's great peace in that grace. And then he talks at the beginning of the chapter here about hope. Well, certainly we need hope. That's one of the worst feelings in life, is when we feel hopeless. And there are a lot of people in our world today, and maybe even some in this room, maybe you come in here today and you feel hopeless. And the only source of our hope, the only source of grace, the only source of peace, it comes through Jesus Christ. We come here today and we look at all that goes on in the world, and it's horrible. We see horrible evils, and this is not new. We may think it's new, or we may think it's never been this bad before, and that's kind of recency bias. It's our generation and we're living it, so we think it's the worst ever, but there's nothing new under the sun. I know I say that all the time, but I'm constantly reminding myself of that from Ecclesiastes, that this old world has not changed, that only for a brief second was it really great in the Garden of Eden, and it didn't take long until sin ruined that. And from that point forward, this world has been horrible. Evil has run rampant. And there have been evil people in every generation, and there continue to be today. And there continue to be evils and atrocities all around the world. But in the midst of all of that, there is still hope, because God is in control. Because God has not forgotten us. God has not left us or forsaken us. God shows us in His Word through Jesus Christ that there is hope today. Now, I know life is tough, and I know that we're going through stuff, probably some of you, some really serious stuff, and it doesn't seem like that there's any light at the end of the tunnel, and I don't know how your situation's going to turn out, but I know that God is good, and I know that if you would trust Him, He will give you strength. And He'll give you peace even in the midst of your struggles. And we need that hope today. And just as God has been with every generation that has come before us, He is with us. And so He will be with every generation that comes after us. And if we find no hope in God, then we are doomed. If you find no hope in God and in the Word of God and in the Son of God, you are doomed. Because you will not find that hope anywhere else. And so Paul says it so beautifully as he talks at the beginning of this chapter about the peace that we receive and the grace that we receive and the hope that we have through our faith in Jesus Christ. And it's so beautiful what he says here in these verses we just read. For while we were still helpless at the appointed time, Christ died for the ungodly. Isn't that a beautiful way that he put that? While we were still helpless. That is to say, there was nothing that we could do. We were as helpless as we could be. There was nothing that we could offer. There was nothing that we could bring to the table. There was nothing that we could do for God or give to God. We are completely helpless and completely dependent on another if there's any chance that we are going to be spared. No different than when a child is born. If you've ever had a child, if you've ever seen a child, when that child comes into this world, it is completely helpless. It cannot feed itself. It cannot change itself. It cannot do anything for itself. It is completely dependent on someone else to reach down and to pick it up and to nurture it and to feed it and to provide for it and to care for it and to teach it and to love it. And anybody in here who's had a child or a grandchild, you do those things not because the child is doing anything for you. The child's not doing anything for you. But you do those things because you love the child. Because the blessing is in having the child. Even though the child is going to make stinky diapers, he's going to make you lose sleep, he's going to cost you money, it's going to make your life really difficult for years to come until you get him out of college, and still probably difficult. But yet, even knowing all that, all the pain that they will cause you, you pick that child up and you nurture it and you care for it because you know that it is helpless. And so it is for Jesus Christ with us. That we are helpless in this world. That our sin has left us in a rotten and pitiful situation. Listen to what verse 9 says. But God proves His own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's nothing that we have done to deserve the grace of God. There is nothing that we have done to deserve the love of God. Jesus did not look at any of us today and say, I see that group of people at Enterprise Baptist Church in 2025, and they are so awesome, I will go to the cross for them and for them alone because they are awesome, and I know how good they're going to do for me. That's not what Jesus said. That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says that while we were still sinners, we brought nothing to God. We were nothing but sinners. Jesus Christ looked upon us and saw that we were helpless, and He died for us. And that, my friends, is what love is. That Jesus could look at us and all of the sins that we have ever committed and ever will commit, and He can see value in that. He can see that we can be more than what we are. Maybe even today as we sit on these pews, maybe we feel pretty rotten, and maybe we feel pretty worthless, and maybe we feel like our life is a wreck, and maybe we feel like there's no way that restoration can be made, and there's no way that our life can change, and there's no way that our soul can be saved, and there's no way that Jesus would ever die for me. Well, Jesus did know all of those things about you, and He still died for you. He knew how rotten you were going to be. He saw value in something that maybe no one else in the world could see value in other than God Himself. Y'all ever watch these TV shows where these people go buy these houses and they restore them? That's a big deal. I mean, those shows got popular 10, 12 years ago, and now you see them all the time. Michelle watches them all the time, and there's one show that she watches, and this couple, they buy houses, and I'm telling you, I would bulldoze 90% of them down. I mean, these things are completely and totally worthless. And I think to myself, how are people living in there? And how does it ever get to this shape? How does it get so messy? These things are worthless. These things have no value. Just bulldoze them down. They're done. But you know what they do? They go in these houses and they walk through them. And sometimes they fall through the floor in them. And they look around and they say, man, this could be a nice house. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? This is a death trap. This is horrible. And they go in there, and you know what they start doing? They start cleaning out all this junk. And sometimes it's nasty and it's stinky. And I'm thinking, man, who would do that? Who would pay $500,000 for this junk? And then you got to go in there and you got to get that out. And you got to wear all these suits because it's nasty and it's dirty. But they do it, and they put the effort in, and they begin to get out all the old junk. And they begin to restore it, and they begin to put some new paint on the walls, and they put some new light fixtures in, and they redo everything. Add on a little bit, the house begins to grow, and then at the end of the show, you know what happens. It's the before and after. A house that looked totally worthless, and they saw value in it. They factored in that it was going to take the work, it was going to take the money, it was going to take the effort, but they looked at something that looked completely worthless, and they said, I see great value there. And they turn it into something beautiful. And that's what Jesus did for us. He looked at us, and we were just as rotten and nasty and as worthless looking as those houses. And sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes our lives are such a mess, and we sit down and we say, how did I even get here? How did I get in such a rotten shape? Is my life even worth anything? Is there even any value? But Jesus looked down, and he knew who you were before you were born. He knew just how messy and rotten and nasty your house was going to be. And he said, you know what? I think I can make something out of that. And so Jesus did what had to be done. Now, there's one problem with these house shows. All the stuff that they do is great. We wish we could do it to our houses, right? We said, man, I'd like to do that to my house. But the real thing that stops any of that from ever coming to fruition is what? Money. Because they'll put $1 million in these houses. It's a great cost to restore something that's completely ruined into something that's beautiful and make it new again. It costs a lot. And Jesus had to look at us and all of our sinfulness and all of our nastiness, and he had to calculate the cost. And once he calculated the cost, there was only one thing that could pay for the price of the forgiveness of our sins, and that was his own life. That he would give his life as a ransom for you and I. He considered the cost today. Whenever you look at your life, whenever you wonder if you're still lovable, whenever you wonder if there is any hope, know this, that Jesus looked at you and he knew who you are and he knew the sins you'd commit, and he said, I've calculated the cost for your life and I love you so much that I want to die on a cross for you. You are worth something to Jesus Christ. He did not die for nothing. He died for you so that he could take our lives full of our sin, full of our rottenness, and he could forgive us of those sins and clean all that junk out, and he could begin to restore us, and he could begin to make us new. While we were still helpless, Jesus Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, while we were enemies of God, Jesus died for us so that we could become children of God. And what a beautiful truth this is for us today. And it is because of this truth. It is because that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, saw our sins, he counted the cost, and he paid the price by giving his life on a cross. It's because of him that we can rejoice today. It's because of that that we can have hope today. If we come in here discouraged and overwhelmed and burdened by our sins and our struggles, then today we need to call on Jesus Christ. Maybe there are some of you and you've never put your faith in Jesus. I pray that today that you would trust him, that you would give him your sins, that you would repent, and that you would let him forgive you, that you would let him begin to do a work in you and to restore your life and to make you new. Maybe some of you today already know Jesus Christ. But even in those houses that get restored and they're beautiful, there's still a little work required by the homeowner. There's still a little upkeep. We can't just say, I trust Jesus and go on back to our old life living in sin. We have to continue to work on our life. Now, there's nothing that we can do. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that there's any work we can do that's going to change anything. But we work to grow in Jesus Christ. We work to serve him more and to love him more and to grow in his word and to live by his word. It takes effort on our part to serve God. Because there's a battle between the ways of the world and the ways of Scripture and the ways of Jesus Christ. Once we come to faith in Jesus Christ, there's a battle pulling us both ways, but we have to choose to do what God's Word says and continue to live in faith to Jesus Christ. So maybe there are some of you today and you've been restored by Jesus, but maybe you hadn't been putting the work in. Maybe your prayer life's not been so good. Maybe you haven't been in God's Word. Maybe you know it, you just hadn't been listening to it. Maybe you've had some of those battles between right and wrong, and you've chosen what is wrong. Maybe today is a good day for us to humble ourselves before God and ask Him to do a little cleanup in our life, to restore us today. We need to know today that we are loved by Jesus Christ, that He considered us worthy, not because of anything that we have done, but because of what He has done on our behalf. And it is only through Jesus Christ today that we will find peace, that we will find grace, and that we will find hope. Let us pray. God, we come to You today. We thank You for these beautiful words that are just reassuring to us, dear Lord. That You just help us to remember, dear Lord, that we're pretty rotten on our own. And there's not anything we can do for You, dear Lord. We can't earn Your favor. We can't earn forgiveness of our sins. We can't work our way into heaven, dear Lord. We are just as helpless as a new babe, dear Lord. But God, we thank You that even though we are helpless, that Jesus Christ died for us, that Jesus Christ looked at our lives as bad as they are, dear Lord, as rotten as we are, and He saw value. And it was worth the cost that He paid to give His life on a cross so that our sins could be forgiven. So God, I pray that if there is one that is here that does not know Jesus Christ, maybe they just don't feel like they're worth much. Maybe their sin has gotten the better of them. But God, I pray today that they would see hope in Jesus Christ. I pray that even now, God, that they would just repent of their sins, that they would ask You to forgive them, dear Lord, that they would ask Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior, that they would seek to follow and serve Him, dear Lord. And I pray, God, if anybody makes that decision and that commitment today to trust in Jesus, I pray that in a moment as we sing that they would come and share that news with us today. God, maybe there are some here today and they're Yours. And maybe they've been restored, and maybe they have felt the peace and the grace and the hope of Jesus. But God, maybe our sins or our stresses or our worries or our fears or our failures, dear Lord, have just got the better of us. We've kind of lost sight of the things that matter, dear Lord. I pray that You would help us to humble ourselves before You today. That maybe there are some things in our life that need to be cleaned up, God. And so I pray through Jesus Christ that You would begin a restoration. That we would seek You, God, that we would seek Your Word, that we would listen to Your Word, that we would live for You, dear Lord, that You would help us to grow in You and make us into the beautiful men and the women that You want us to be for Your kingdom. I thank You for these good words. I thank You for each one that's here today. God, I pray that You bless these people, and I pray that You bless these next few moments as we have together. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen.